Hello and welcome to your confession tape. It's good to be talking to you again today. I do hope you can hear me because I'm going to check this again in a minute, but I've had to check it once or twice because I don't know what's happened, but I suspect, this isn't an accusation or anything, but that the lady who cleans for me has dusted the mixer. And you know, I don't know if you've ever seen a mixer, but a mixer is full of knobs. I don't know how many knobs, I couldn't count them, and various different things which I leave set so that when I do a tape, I know that everything is going to be okay. But today when I came, I couldn't get any music, and then I found that my voice actually isn't very loud at all. So I'm hoping that this is very, very much better. I'm just going to stop this now and just check, and then we'll carry on. Okay? Okay, well, that's much better. And all the lights are running up and down their little areas as they should be, so I'm very much happier now. Anyway, well, we're going to start as usual with some music, and we're going to have a song from one of the Songs of Praise CDs. And I thought this was really very, very appropriate as I listened and thought and prayed about what we should actually play today. I thought, no, some of us are very, very fond of animals, aren't we? And also, I think we have to be aware of God's presence in and about the countryside and in all the things that are alive. And as we're coming up to Easter, and we're also coming up to spring, at least we're hoping that spring is here already, aren't we? I thought this one was very appropriate. So we're going to listen to this one. And it's number 5. So I'll put it on to number 5, and here we go. Okay?
Thank you.
that was nice. I haven't heard that one for a long, long time. And I must admit, when I first heard them starting to sing it, and they were singing, "Oh, Praise Him," they didn't really sound as if they were praising God at all, did they? But by the end, they were really raising their voices in praise to our God and Saviour. So that was really good, and I hope you enjoyed it. A good start to our time together this morning. I'm doing this tape on a Wednesday. I haven't been able to squeeze it in between. I've been rather busy. And today as well, after the morning, when I've done your tape, I should be off going down to East Surrey Hospital in Redhill. And there I'm going to visit a lady called Celia. Some of you will know her, who was taken very poorly a couple of days ago. So I was down there yesterday. I'm going down again this afternoon. And if you can all pray for her, that would be brilliant. Hopefully by the time you get this tape, though, this CD, she will be very, very much better. So I should be off travelling down the M25 down to Redhill. But at the moment, I'm looking out onto my back area. Now, this is the area where I can see the trains when they go past. There's no trains there at the moment at all. And the trees are well, they're empty, really, because there's no leaves on them at all. They're bare. But we also have another lovely tree outside my flat. And to be honest, I think the tree itself is dead. But the actual trunk of the tree, and really three-quarters of the way up, is covered in, could be ivy, but it looks like ivy, but I don't think it is. But it's very thick, and in there we have lots of birds nesting. And also on the top of that tree, which is just bare trunks, tree trunks sticking out at the top, it looks quite eerie against the sky. But I have seen an owl sitting there before now, particularly in the evenings. And it's really rather lovely. He looks rather eerie, because owls don't move very much when they're sitting, do they? And it really looks very lovely. And as I'm watching the bird table now, we have got birds there. We've got a long-tailed tick come along, and a chaffinch. And I'm sure that as we go through the morning, we'll see lots of others. This is a lovely one. It's a warbler come. And those of you who know your birds will know that there are loads of different types of warblers, and I need to take a photograph of this particular one, because I'm not really very certain which warbler it is. But he's really enjoying the fat ball there. So that's good, isn't it, to have all the birds back. I've loved it, actually, because the birds are really returning. You remember when we were doing the building work, there were no birds around, and they didn't like the builders, and they all the noise, and I don't blame them really at all. But the birds have returned, and I get lots and lots of them now. And it's soon be their nesting time, won't it? So I'm looking forward to seeing some of the baby birds, and hopefully we must pray that the cats, and there are a lot of them around here now, don't actually get catch up with the baby birds when they arrive. So what else have I been doing other than trooping off down to the hospital, which is only very recent because Celia was fine up until then? Well, lots of things have been happening. I did actually have a day outside last Saturday. It was absolutely gorgeous. The sun was lovely, and it really made me feel as if I needed to go to a garden centre. You know, I love gardens. And so I trooped off down to the garden centre. I took some of my birthday garden vouchers, just a few of them, because I didn't want to spend all of them together. And I took those down, and I got myself a couple of tubs and a couple of roses. And I spent some time out at the back. Actually, I had four little tubs, which when I actually planted them up last year, I hadn't realised they hadn't got holes in them for drainage. So when I went to look at them this year, they were absolutely, you can imagine, with all the wet we've had, absolutely sodden, and they smelt horrible. So I set about getting the earth out of there and trying to sort out any weeds in it, and then I turned the tubs upside down and banged some holes in the bottom so that the next time it rains it will actually drain. So that was fun. I really enjoyed the time out there. Planted my two roses. One's a lovely red and the other one is a yellow, and they're in nice tubs now and they look very smart. Then when I'd done the other four little tubs, made their bottoms with holes in and put some earth in, I thought, you know, they will sit very nicely round the bottom of my bird table. And they do. And it really looks lovely. And so I went back to the garden centre and bought some very little flowers, because these tubs aren't very big, but some nice little flowers, kind of some aubrietia and one, two other things, some rosemary. And I popped it in there, these four little tubs underneath my bird table, and it really looks pretty. And I hope and pray that the squirrels don't come and dig it all up, or the cats don't use it as their portable loo, and so that all the plants actually stay where they're meant to be. Well, I think it's time, isn't it, that we had another song. Shall we have a song from Songs of Praise, or shall we have someone else? Well, I'll see whether you can guess who this is when I put it on, because I think you'll know that this is one of my favourite CDs.
This house, O Lord, we pray, make it safe by night and day. Bless these walls so firm and stout, keeping want and trouble out. Bless the roof and chimneys tall.
You know who that was, don't you? Harry Secombe. And as you know, he's one of my favourite singers. I really miss him, because, well, although we've still got all his CDs, it's wonderful to be able to listen to him. His voice really does something very special to me. But anyway, it was lovely to hear him. He was singing Bless This House, and you know, I haven't heard that for a long, long time. It's quite an old-fashioned one, isn't it? But when you think about it, that's what we want to do, isn't it? Those of us who are Christians, who know and love the Lord, just want the Lord in every area of our house. And I know some of you will be very familiar with actually praying for places, when, particularly a new place, when you go into a new place or start something new, you ask the Lord's blessing on that building, a bit like you do with churches or cathedrals or a place of worship. You can also do it with your home. And when he sang Bless This House, and he asked that the door will always be open, I think, you know, that is a lovely, lovely thing to think about with our own homes, isn't it? That a door will always be open to invite those in who need to chat or need a shoulder to cry on or something like that, or even just for friendship, isn't it? It's really something that I think we should all ask the Lord to bless our homes. And if you listen to that again, you'll find that he mentioned lots of other parts of the home that we really need to bring before the Lord from time to time. And I think, anyway, it's nice to ask the Lord into our home, isn't it? That is really good. Well, lots of birds have been while I've been chatting to you, and I've just noticed as well, you know, spring really is coming, I think, because the clematises, or as I've said before, clematises, whichever one you want to call, are all in bud. And the one I've got, one that is quite well, it's on the fence of the carport, which I can see from here as I'm talking to you. And it's hopefully, I'm hoping that it's going to climb up over and really have a good show of blooms when it comes out. Gives some colour here at the back. And it's really alive. It's, from having looked so dead over the winter, it really has come alive. It's really brilliant. And you know, the other thing I've noticed, we haven't really had a very cold winter, have we? Unless, of course, you've been in the depths of Scotland or somewhere. But we haven't had the frosts, because my geraniums are still okay. It's geraniums from last year are still looking okay this year. And geraniums are usually caught by frost, aren't they, and things like that. So it's quite amazing, I think, that we've had a very, very wet winter, but we haven't had a really cold one, have we? And we're really blessed by that, I think. Mind having said that, I know it can, when my sister got married in May many years ago now, it was snowing. It had snowed the day before. So we can't really guarantee on anything in our English weather, can we? But anyway, at the moment, today, I think, I hope, the sun is just beginning to peek out. Well, that would be lovely if the sun does come out, then we get some warmth as well into the place. So what else have I been doing? Well, lots of things have been happening. We've been to out for walks and looked along the riverbank. You know, the riverbanks are all recovering, which is really quite amazing, because looking at some of the photos that local people took of our area, remember, I live quite near the Thames and the River Mole as well, and it's some of it actually burst its banks, and things like the football field and such like, you couldn't see. It was just a total water, and we had ducks, you know, swimming in various different places that where they shouldn't be swimming. And but it's all drying out now, so that's nice. And as I say, spring seems to be on its way. I really do pray that those people who were so badly flooded and had so much water, and some people still have, haven't they? I've noticed some of the roads are still closed because of flooding, which is awful. And of course, some of the people as well have even lost homes over edges of cliffs and things. So we must remember those people in our prayers, mustn't we, and keep them in our prayers, because they do need all the help they can get, and I think we should be praying for them as Christians. We should be remembering people like that. And I'm just moving along to look out of my window here, and I see the pansies from last year also. Lovely, cheerful heads looking at me. It really is brilliant. I'm really quite chuffed with all that's going on in the garden. Now, through the roof as well, we've had lots of things going on. We've had a mission Saturday when Reninka Hill, who runs the Wheels for the World program, had a missions time of missions, got everybody together to talk about all things we do overseas. And we've also got another lady called Ros joined us, and some of you will have heard from her by email. And it's really getting a very, very busy area. And we're coming up to the first of the holidays. We'll be doing the autistic holiday very soon. And then soon after that, it'll be the Treloar holiday. And those of you who are coming on that will be looking forward to that, I hope. Pray for good weather there as well, mustn't we, as we go out cycling in the woodland and things like that. And then after that, there's the Babbacombe holiday. And I know lots of you are looking forward to that. So there's lots to look forward to in Through the Roof and DCF and all the other programs that run so regularly with us. Well, we're going to have another song now. And we're going to have a song from Marilyn Baker. I haven't played her CD from her for a long, long time. And I'm just looking through all my CDs. I've got quite a few. And I just noticed Marilyn Baker's, and I thought, well, let's refresh ourselves, because she has got one on there. Well, she's actually got more than one, obviously. But she's got some lovely ones on there. And I think one is particularly applicable to what we're going to think about on the other side of our CD. So as I put the CD on, I want you to just lean back and listen to the words of what Marilyn is singing, because it is something to do with what we'll speak about on the other side.
I'll never forsake or let you down.
that lovely? I will never forsake you or leave you alone. And I think sometimes some of us need all of those sentiments that she sang in that particular song, don't we? Sometimes we need to know that we're never alone. We need to know that we're loved. We have to be reminded by it, don't we? Sometimes we can feel very sorry for ourselves, and as if we're the only ones on the planet that have got problems and things like that. But as you listen to the words of what Marilyn sang, we're reminded of what a wonderful God we've got and how much he loves us, and that he will never, and that word never is there, never leave us or forsake us. Well, the sun's come out, which is lovely. I'm thrilled to bits about that, because that makes the day feel that much better, doesn't it? The birds are still here, but we've got to turn over our tape and CD people a little bit of a gap. But at the moment, all you need to do is turn your tape over, and then we'll start our Bible study on the other side of the tape and a little gap on the CD. Okay, turn over now. Back to this side of your confession. Well, today we're going to look at a passage of scripture which I think can teach us so much. And as we in March now, and then in April we will have Easter, it made me think about just why Easter happened, why the story of Easter happened, and what difference it has made to our lives. See, at Easter Jesus did something that you and I are not capable of. He was denied the love of his Father. He was denied a future, if you like. After only 3 years of work, only 3 years doing the work that he loved, he was taken and wrongly accused and wrongly abused and wrongly killed. But that had to be. He was wrongly accused and killed only by our standards, because he had done nothing wrong. But on the other hand, it was God's plan that this should happen. So it had to happen. And Jesus allowed it to happen. He was fully obedient to his Father. And that is something that is, it forever amazes me, because he didn't have to die. He knew he'd done nothing wrong. And a lot of the people around him knew he'd done nothing wrong. But because his Father knew that that was the right thing he had to do for the rest of the world, for you and me, Jesus allowed it to happen. Yes, allowed it to happen. And this was the man who did all the miracles. This was the man who could heal. This was the man who could save others, but he didn't save himself, because of you and I. And as I was thinking about Easter and things like that, and wondering just why all this happened, and thinking about in my own life as to what difference knowing Jesus has made to my own life, I started to think about why it has made a difference. And I came across a story which I've used before, and I may have even spoken to you about it before, that really does show me just why Jesus actually died, why we have a Heavenly Father who is, well, just so amazing. I'm going to read a story from Mark's Gospel. It actually occurs after the feeding of the 4,000, not the 5,000, the 4,000, when similar things happened, when people were fed from very few bits of bread and fish. And the disciples once more I didn't understand, they couldn't understand, they couldn't follow. And Jesus is saying, do you not yet understand? He's getting to the stage in his ministry when he desperately wants his disciples to learn to understand what his love can do for others. And then he goes on to tell us about something else that happened a bit later. In verse 22 of Mark chapter 8, it says, and then they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and entreated him to touch him. And taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men, for I am seeing them like trees walking about. Then again Jesus laid his hands upon his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. He sent him to his home village, saying, do not even enter the village. Now this story is a story of the Christ, the God, the Jesus, the Heavenly Father that we have today. This is a story of a man who died for us so that he could love us completely and offer his love to us completely, totally, with nothing, no clauses that say, I can't love if. A total and absolute love given. And I think this story gives us an indication of just what kind of love that is. The people had witnessed so much, hadn't they? They'd just seen the feeding of the 4,000, a miracle, being able to feed so many with such little food. Jesus was longing the disciples would learn to understand. But then something very personal and very private happens, and Mark puts it in his narrative. Why does he put it there? Because it's important to you and I. And as we look at it, we can see, we look at it a bit more closely, we can actually see just why Mark put it there. Because I believe that Mark actually saw in this story something new about this man Jesus that they were getting to know and learning to understand a bit better. The first thing I want to bring out is this. When they arrived at Bethsaida, the people brought to him a blind man. The people brought to Jesus a blind man. Now the blind man himself hadn't actually come. He was obviously in the crowd and he was interested. He'd heard about the healings. He had heard about Jesus. He'd heard about the kind of man he was. And the crowd were eager to get that man to Jesus. Maybe these were his friends. In which case, once again, we have a story, a bit like the Through the Roof story, of friends who actually brought someone to Jesus. Actually introduced a friend to Jesus. Actually asked Jesus to do something very personal for a friend. The people brought a blind man to Jesus. Jesus didn't notice him. He probably knew he was there because Jesus was aware of everything. But it wasn't Jesus who picked him out and said, hey, you are blind, come here, let me heal you. It was the people, the crowd, who pushed the blind man forward. And then the Bible says, Mark writes, they begged him. They begged Jesus. This man was obviously very precious to the people. They desperately wanted this man to be able to see. They desperately wanted to be able to see another miracle, but they also wanted their friend to be able to see. They wanted the world to come alive for this friend of theirs, so he could actually see and understand far more. And so they begged Jesus to touch the man and to heal him. Did you notice that? To touch the man and heal him. So the people here had not only seen Jesus and listened to him and witnessed other healings, but they knew they had got, in fact they'd come so far that they had managed to get a little bit of faith, hadn't they? Because all they were asking for was, please touch him, Lord. Please touch him, Jesus. And then he will be healed. So these people believed that only a touch from Jesus. Remember that song? Just a touch from the King. Yes, that's all that was necessary. The people knew it. A touch from Jesus. What faith they had, didn't they? And Jesus obviously saw this. Jesus was obviously aware of the feeling towards this man by the people, but also the fact these people were believing in him. They had a level of faith. Their faith may only have been as a little seed, touch of mustard seed, tiny weeny titchy little bit of seed, but their faith needed rewarding so that it would grow. And Jesus is good at that, you know. Jesus is good at rewarding our faith and helping us to grow our faith. And this is what he wanted to do. Now, we have a scene here where there are loads and loads of people following Jesus. And because of that, Jesus does something very, very special here. He sees the situation, and he also sees the man who is blind. And he knows in his heart of hearts that this man didn't come forward and push himself forward and beg for himself. Perhaps he was a little bit embarrassed. Perhaps he was a shy man. Perhaps he was just someone who never ever put himself forward. But Jesus understood him totally, absolutely. And so Jesus, in his understanding, took the man by the hand. Just imagine that. Jesus took this man by the hand. Now that can still happen today, you know. Sometimes we can be in a situation where we desperately need Jesus' love. We desperately need God's hand upon us. And when we do, and we get to almost desperate levels, God will still take us by the hand. Why? Because he is a personal God. He is a personal God. He looks after you and me, and he knows you and me as individuals. He knows us to such an extent that he treats us totally as an individual. Not as one of a crowd, but as an individual. And if he understands us and knows how we're feeling at that time, he will literally take us by the hand. Okay, we haven't actually got Jesus standing beside him like this blind man did. And this blind man physically felt Jesus' hand goes into his. But you know, we can feel Jesus' presence very, very close to us at times, particularly when we come before him with real faith, and even sometimes maybe in desperation, maybe at a time when we're particularly low. But you know, Jesus fully understands and takes us by the hand. He treats us as an individual. And the other thing is, he cares about how we feel. You see, this man, he was among all these people. He was shy. He could have been a bit embarrassed. And so what did Jesus do? He didn't just take him by the hand, but he led him away to a private place. Jesus is good at that as well. Many a time when we need to talk to Jesus and we need to be alone with him, we need to have that one-to-one with him. We need it to be a real personal encounter with him. And Jesus knew that with this man. He didn't want crowds around him watching him be healed. The man didn't want crowds around him. And so Jesus withdrew him to a private place. I don't know about you, but I have places or times when I need them, just me and Jesus. Sometimes those times are very, very important, aren't they? It's almost as if it leaps out. I don't want to be amongst all these people. I don't want to be in a busy church situation. I don't even want to be in a small house group situation or cell or whatever it is you call it. I don't even want to be me and a friend. I just want it to be me and Jesus. And this blind man, who was taken by the hand, had a time, we don't know how long it took, but he had 5, 10, 15 minutes of just him and Jesus. Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of the village, led him to a private place, led him to a quiet place, led him to a place where it could just be him and the blind man. Our God's amazing, isn't he? Absolutely amazing. But you know, then we have something happening that you and I are not very good at. At least I'm saying, I can't talk about for everyone, obviously, but I know there are times when everybody loses their patience. But I think here we have a picture of Jesus being so loving and so patient. We have a man who is blind, possibly never seen. We don't hear whether he's blind from birth, but he quite probably was. And so he'd never seen. He hadn't a clue what things around him looked like, other than by the fact that people probably described them to him. And Jesus, when he gets this man alone, when it's just him and the blind man together, Jesus does something quite strange, really. He spits on the man's eyes, then lays his hands on them, and takes his hands away, and he says, "Can you see anything now?" Now, we would imagine that Jesus would heal immediately. And Jesus can heal immediately and does heal immediately. But in this instance, it didn't happen immediately. The man didn't see clearly immediately. And he said to Jesus, "Well, I can see people, at least I think they're people, but they look a bit like trees, I think." So his sight wasn't right. His sight wasn't perfect. But Jesus didn't lose his patience and say, oh, well, I've done what I can. I'll leave you now, and at least you can see something. And off he goes. No. Jesus has patience. He has patience in abundance. And he waits. And he yet once again anoints his eyes. And once again asks that question. Can you see anything now? And the man saw perfectly. You know, all of this, to me, has one big word in capital letters written all over it. This is love in abundance, isn't it? This is the God, this is Jesus, who loves you and I in abundance. His love never, ever runs out. I remember we used to sing to the children at Sunday school many, many, many years ago, a song called Running Over. Running over, running over, my cup's full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. My cup's full and running over. What does that mean? It means, basically, that we have a cup of God's love. Figuratively speaking, of course. We have a cup of God's love. But that cup has got so much love in it that however much love God gives us, it's still full, that cup. But you know, you and I can have that cup as well. We can have a cup of love, but because we're human, sometimes our cup runs out. And we don't act as Jesus did in this story. We don't find the time to be individually talking to somebody when perhaps we should do. And we do sometimes, but there are times when our humanity, if you like, the human part of us comes out, and we have not got the time, or we have another thing that is more pressing, and we say to the person, I'll be praying for you, but that's all you do. You don't stop and pray for them. That's how we should react, you know. But we don't always, do we? Many a time we do, but we don't always. But Jesus always, always has time for us. Always. He has time to take the individual. He has time to give love to an individual. He has time to give a person a personal touch, taking them by the hand. He has patience and love and understanding to such an extent that he too, if he needs to talk to you, if he needs you, knows you need him desperately at that time, he will come to you in a private place. Now that could be anywhere. Could be at night time. One of those nights when you can't get to sleep. And maybe he will come. And you spend time with him. That becomes very, very precious. Some of my most precious times are when I speak to the Lord. Firstly, in frustration and anger because I can't get to sleep. But ending in praise because I've had the most wonderful time with him. Just him and me. And you know, during that time of him and me, like with this blind man, he shows me so much patience and so much love. It never, ever runs out. And as I was thinking all about this, about the love, about the individuality of our God, about the fact that he knows me and knows how I feel and how I would react. That he has patience with me. That not, he knows that not necessarily the very first time he does something will it be successful with me, but that he needs, I need another go. He needs to give me another chance. He has patience and love in abundance. When I think of all those things, then I know why Christ died for me. Then I know why Easter story had to happen. Because amazingly, all those things we've mentioned in this story, all those things about the individuality, about the love, about the patience, about the abundance of God's love and consideration for us as an individual, it isn't just us, it is every person in this world. And that is something that you and I could never, ever do. Oh yes, the little circle around us, or people at church, or those that we get particularly friendly with, we have time for. But Jesus has time for everyone. Not just people in England, not just the people in Scotland, or Wales, or Ireland, but the whole world. Wow. He doesn't just pick out one person and say, I'll concentrate on this person today. He is available with all these things that we've mentioned. He is available with all those things every day, all night, for everyone. And that makes him totally and completely accessible God. There is no negative vibe there. There is never a time when he's not there to take us by the hand and lead us into that private spot. Isn't that amazing? It's awesome when you think about it. Absolutely awesome. God has done something through the crucifixion to enable every person to have this kind of personal love, this kind of personal touch, available for every single person in the world. We can't imagine it, can we? Because I know sometimes I felt that Jesus is just mine. He's so precious. But he isn't just mine. And yet he is just mine. That sounds double Dutch, doesn't it? But you know, Jesus is exactly the same for you as he is for someone else. Which means that for everybody we can say Jesus is just mine. But having said that, Jesus also is the same for absolutely every person in the world. He has no favourites, has no days off, he has no times when he's too busy, has no time when he doesn't understand, he has no time when he says, go away and come back later. What an amazing God we have got. And that is the God who was with this blind man at Bethsaida. Remember though, all that story happened because the people were concerned about that one man. Sometimes our churches are in the middle of villages, sometimes they're in the middle of towns, sometimes they're in the middle of cities. But wherever our church is, whether it's in a school, youth club, a church, cathedral, or a home, That church needs to get out so that you become the people. The people that can find that one person who desperately needs individual love, the individual patience, the individual touch of Jesus. Many, many more churches are doing that now and going out and about. It's called outreach. I know our church is doing it. You can do it as a person as well. You can be a friend to someone and bring them to this lovely God, this God full of love in abundance. Well, the tape is nearly finished, and I've got to finish. Postman's just been and brought me the most enormous parcel, so I'm going to have a look and see what's in there. I suspect it's something I'm going to have to send back. But for now, I'm going to say cheerio. Hope you've enjoyed this tape. I look forward to hearing from you. If you feel like writing to me, that would be lovely. I love having your letters. They're great encouragement. We all need encouragement, don't we? The sun is out, the birds are out, and I'm going to be out again in a minute going down to Cecilia. So I'll say cheerio for now then. God bless everybody, and I look forward to speaking to you again next month. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.